I am here to chew bubblegum and zombie takeout. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Welcome to episode 6 of Zombie
Takeout.
The B movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And this week, we begin a two-part look into the work of, well, someone who's, not a professional actor and really not an actor at all, has become a bit of an icon in B movies and cult movies.
I have been a fan of his work, though, long before this.
Oh, yes.
This is probably one of the few that I've seen in the theaters because of it.
Wow, I didn't even see this one in the theaters. Of course, this begins a look into the Rowdy Roddy Piper oeuvre.
Hey, it's just Roddy Piper in the film. There's no Rowdy.
Okay.
Although I did spend the first, 15 minutes of the film wondering where was his entourage of bagpipe players that he usually entered the ring with.
And we're starting with They Live.
Oh, John Carpenter's They Live.
One of the most seminal B-movies of all time.
Yeah. For as far as B-movie directors go, I mean, John Carpenter.
Yes.
Wow. And for the right reasons a lot of times, too. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, his resume is almost perfect. I mean, there's been a few missteps, Ghost of Mars.
Well, yeah.
You could argue vampires, but most of it's been stellar.
His version of The Thing was
classic.
That's probably going to be a future episode in itself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot another misstep, Escape from L.A.
Well, yeah.
But nobody's perfect.
And I'm sure that was a nice
paycheck. Oh, yeah. But barring those three, I mean, really, he's a legend.
Well, I think the only thing to do to kick this off would be to, my plot summary of They Live.
Yes.
A very well-dressed homeless gentleman is wandering around the city, and he finds a job. There's a lot of economic upheaval back then, I guess.
Yes.
In '88, which...
I don't remember.
Yeah. There really wasn't.
The recession came a few years later.
That's the problem with the movie. It really should have been set in the future, and if it was set in the future, it would have been like, wow, these guys were way ahead of their time.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't. It was 1988, and maybe if they did say it was in the future, I don't know. But anyway, he finds a job working in construction. But there's this strange church on the other side of the street, and he has to investigate. And they're making sunglasses, and there are all these mysterious messages coming over the TV that these homeless people seem to have hooked up electrically.
Mm-hmm.
And they
more about that later.
The messages, of course, are about being taken over and all sorts of typical crazy homeless guy stuff.
Yeah.
And, of course, the sunglasses that the church was making, that the church were making across the street, were when he put them on, he was able to really see around him what's been going on for all these years. And that is, this movie took that whole, remember how most run-of-the-mill Hollywood movies take Jamaicans and make them aliens?
Yes.
This one, I think, is a lot more logical in the fact that rich people are aliens.
Yes.
And it makes a lot of sense if you think about it.
Not just rich, but anybody in power.
Right.
There were cops who were aliens. Cops aren't necessarily rich.
Well, not all cops were aliens.
Well,
not all.
Some of them were.
Collaborators,
Yes.
Join them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, generally, though, a rich person And of course, you have to wonder, how did that person get all that money?
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is just the most logical explanation I've ever heard, in that they're aliens.
Yeah.
And it just makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he goes on to probably, I'm really shocked that this movie has never been blamed for any killing sprees. Because he just goes on a shooting rampage, and
yeah.
anybody that he sees is an alien, head blown off. And, well, I think that's just about as much of a plot summary as you can give. Of course, there's a main signal that he has to go after
mm-hmm.
To focus the movie a bit more, or else it's just a crazy ranting.
Well, yeah. There has to be some semblance of a plot.
And, yeah, he goes after the main signal to destroy it and to open all of our eyes.
Mm-hmm. It should be noted that he only kills one human.
He might kill more. Who knows?
It's tough
to say.
There is only every kill is an alien except for the very end.
It's tough to say because they do a lot of switching back and forth from real vision to human vision or whatever
yeah.
you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Subliminal vision, I guess you could say.
Did you mention the sunglasses?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Made by the church.
Yes, those allow him to see the aliens.
Right.
And turn everything black and white.
He puts on the glasses, and then he can see reality, that there are aliens all around us. Every piece of advertising
mm-hmm.
is really a subliminal message for us to obey and to consume and to reproduce.
Yes.
And that is the plot, really. It's a simple plot, but
mm-hmm.
boy. I mean, it's you're the whole film, I'm wondering, you know, the way I'm going through it, I'm wondering if it's conservative, if it's liberal, where are they going with it? And I mean, it's mostly
liberal.
What was liberal.
Conservative about this?
Well, there is the whole use of the church, and we've strayed further away from the church.
Oh, okay. Well, that's only
yeah.
the preacher.
No, not just that. If you think about it, the aliens are, you know, are what's or you could say the aliens have made us lose our moral compass.
Okay, yeah.
Is one way of putting
yeah.
is one way of putting that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, most of it is anti-capitalist.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the aliens themselves, they even say, are treating us as a third world.
Yes.
And are here to do what we've done to third world countries.
Yes, that's what they explicitly say that.
Yeah.
In fact, I think if I had one criticism about the movie, well, sort of a criticism, it's also part of what makes it fun, is the message. This has got to be one of the most heavy-handed messages I've ever seen in a movie.
And yet, 21 years ago, it completely went over my head.
Well, you were how old?
I was probably like 15.
Oh, okay. It's just blatantly put there right in front of you. In fact, up until he gets the glasses, and well, up until he puts them on, it's basically one big PSA.
Well,
the scene in Justiceville, when he first goes to Justiceville that first night,
okay,
it just feels like one big PSA.
Well, it's very strange with the homeless people being so well-dressed and everything,
yeah.
and he's wandering the street for how long, and he's like clean-shaven and everything,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, okay.
Well, I got the impression he had a job in I forget where he said, and he just came into town to get another job. I have a feeling he probably was only, it took maybe a day to travel, so he looks okay because he was going to, you know, try to get a job.
All right. And, of course, the homeless people having TV sets.
Well, yeah, even after the massive destruction of Justiceville.
Right.
Justiceville is
exactly.
This,
I was going to say the same thing.
Justiceville is this sort of homeless camp that's set up in the middle of the city. Where, you know, the next to a church where they have a soup kitchen and some showers. And one
the
point,
sunglasses manufactured.
Yes, in said
yeah.
church. At one point, it's destroyed by the cops, and yet the next day, Nada, Roddy's character, goes there, and it's you know, it's leveled. There's nothing left except for the TV. Although that actually, in hindsight, kind of makes sense. I thought it was odd and kind of cheesy at the time, but maybe the cops surgically avoided the TV so that
they could still be brainwashed.
Exactly.
It's possible, but nah.
Yeah, I'm stretching.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking that was the only reason I could think of it too. So should we get to our cast here?
Okay.
I mean, well, never mind the cast.
Two or three. Obviously, Roddy Piper.
Yes.
Legendary wrestler, become a B-movie icon despite his complete inability to act.
And that's, you know, it's strange how Carpenter directed this and how, you know, he can't act.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it so he didn't have to do too much.
Oh, yeah. But
so he did what he did well enough. And, of course, interrupted any moment where he might have to act.
Mm-hmm. But there are still moments where he's trying. I can't hold it against him. He tries.
Yeah, he does. He tries.
The scene in the unemployment office when the woman tells him there's no jobs. He tries the subtle smile to frown.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
But, you know, it's great how Carpenter works this and how he just doesn't give him much to go with. And
yeah.
Just, you know, just as they're about to, he's about to have a scene with Holly is when, of course,
mm-hmm.
cut that off. You know?
She throws him out the window, yeah.
Well, no. She throws him out the window, and then there's a bomb go off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, every scene, if you watch this again, any time something, you know, emotional is going to happen, immediately cut off by an action scene.
Uh-huh.
You think about it, that's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. So he's about to act. He's about to act. Both of them.
Right, right. You know, you're just going to get into some sort of touchy feeling thing. Boom! Now, the other name, of course.
Of course.
A man who, this guy is probably, I don't know, he could be one of the greatest B-movie actors ever.
He's up there with Bruce
quality.
Campbell.
Except he's
a great actor.
As far as acting ability.
Yeah. I've seen him in a few things that aren't B, and he is really a damn good actor.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's fantastic. He does the Ken Burns series.
Oh, yeah.
Lately.
Oh, I didn't even think about all the voiceover work he's done.
He's the voiceover guy for the Army, I think, or
yeah,
Navy.
Yeah.
One of those two, which is really ironic considering this movie,
mm-hmm.
that he's doing commercial work, telling us to obey.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're talking about Keith David.
Yes. Who I often confuse with David Keith and Brian Keith.
Who, this guy, we're going to be hitting again, of course, in future. And probably most famous for There's Something About Mary, I'm guessing.
Ah, yes.
Of course, Marky Post's husband, Cameron Diaz's father.
Yes.
Ah, man. I want to talk about the other movie, but I think we'll save it.
Yeah,
we
got to avoid tangents here.
But yeah,
because there's so
much
we could tangent on. Also, within the cast, not so much the cast, but the character list. George Buck Flowers' character, the Drifter.
Right.
That's the only name he's given, but yet he is a pivotal character in the movie.
That's strange too. I didn't even know Piper's name in really.
It's never
movie.
Mentioned.
Yeah.
In the movie, you only see it in the credits. Apparently, from the research I've done, it's the name of the character in the short story 8 O'Clock in the Morning, in which the movie is based, was George Nada. So they just took his last name and stuck it in the credits.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with the original story. It's from, like, 63.
Yeah.
And, of course, they'd use the Morning in America quote, too, from Reagan.
Yeah.
In one of the
That's what that
speeches.
Was. Okay.
Yes, it was.
It was familiar, but I didn't remember where it came from.
And yeah, think about it. They put this out
just at the end of the Reagan years.
They put this out November 4th. That's almost Election Day itself.
Oh wow.
For Dukakis losing to Bush.
Yeah. Maybe it was a bit of campaigning. Might have been pre-Election Day.
They should have put it out sooner, but
yeah.
Well, let's see. The other interesting fact, they have one of the men in Justiceville, Family Man, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I think I know which one they're talking about, is Jason Robards' son.
Oh, wow.
It's Jason Robards the
third. Oh, yeah.
And if you see his work, he, for having such a famous father...
He hasn't done much.
Hasn't done a whole lot.
And took about 10 years off.
Yes, he did.
Okay, before we get too sidetracked, I just want to get into the soundtrack.
Okay. It's usual John Carpenter.
There's this blues riff that John Carpenter
right.
has used in, oh, I'm going to say 60% of his movies. And that's all well and good. It's a trademark. But with the exception of a little bit of eerie music when he first puts the glasses on and a slight variation on the blues riff during an action scene, that is the entire soundtrack. That is the only music in this movie. Which really just gets old, I hate to say.
Yeah, the soundtrack was awful.
If they need to vary that, it would have kept it more interesting.
You know what he should have done? He should have had Corey Hart's I Wear My Sunglasses at Night.
If he could have licensed it, yeah. That came out a few years before then.
Yeah, it did. What was Corey Hart doing in 1988?
Never Surrender, maybe? Or was that even earlier?
I have no idea.
Also notable in the, while we're at the beginning of the movie, the Justiceville stuff,
okay.
notable that there's a reference to a hacker in 88.
Really?
When the signal first cuts in on the TV, they blame hackers.
Oh yeah, hackers, I mean.
In 88, the only movie that referenced hackers before that was War Games.
Hackers go back a ways, John.
But, of course they go back a ways. They go back to the 50s. But
yeah.
They never really mentioned them in movies till the 90s, particularly when the internet came out.
Well, yeah, because it was just a geek thing. And,
yeah,
you know.
Which I think this is notable for an early mention of hackers.
Well, when did the movie Hackers come out?
Oh, 90s. We had the internet by then.
Well, of course.
This was about 8 years before anybody ever got online?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking back to like the early to mid-80s when we were, breaking into games and stuff.
Yeah, but there weren't that
we
many movies that mentioned
hackers.
Yeah. But I'm saying movies didn't really talk about it. Also, I found interesting, in Justiceville, you notice how Nada Roddy sees everything?
Yeah.
He
just
happens to notice everything.
He does. He's a very, an aware cat. I mean, sees everything going on.
He just happens to be at the right place at the right time, always.
Well, really, I think without further ado, we need to get to the scene of the movie.
Okay.
Or unless there was something else you wanted to include.
There's some other, nothing really, just some amusing little points I noticed, but nothing really important.
The absolute greatest fight scene
mm-hmm.
ever put to film.
Yes.
Paid tribute to in South Park.
Yes. Almost shot for shot.
In fact, you will see on our site.
Yes,
there,
in the show notes.
Oh, boy. The fight scene in this movie,
mm-hmm.
and it was between the good guys.
Yes, both of them.
Now, usually in a movie, you'd have maybe the good guys before they're on the same side. Yeah, they might have a little scuffle or something, maybe a bit of a fight here or there. But never, I don't think in any of my memory, I've ever seen the two good guys... just all out.
Epic 5-minute fight scene.
Yeah, it just seems to go on forever, and you never want it to end.
Oh, no.
My absolute favorite part of the fight scene, though. He grabs a 2x4 and takes a swing at him.
Mm-hmm.
And
takes out the back window of a car, which we're not going to get into the physics of that.
Well, yeah, that could happen. But believe me, it's happened to my car.
Oh, okay.
I had to get back window replaced.
I didn't think you could do that with a 2x4.
We think that's very well what could have happened. We don't know. But anyway,
okay.
He takes the swing at it, you know, Keith David ducks, and he takes out the back window, and he looks at it.
And apologizes.
Looks at the damage of the car, looks back at it, and is like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And throws the 2x4 away, realizing that
that would have killed him.
Taking that away a little too far.
Yeah. Well, okay. I have a bit of information here that might clear that scene up.
Okay.
The fight between Nada and Frank was originally supposed to last 20 seconds. But
okay.
Piper and David decided to fight it out for real, only faking the hits to the face and groin.
Thank goodness.
They rehearsed the fight scene for 3 weeks. Carpenter was so impressed he kept the 5-minute and 20-second scene intact.
Oh, thank God.
So maybe that would have been that was a moment where he, you know, maybe in rehearsal Piper picked up a, you know, something like that, and you know, after he swung it and missed, realized the damage it could have done, and it actually did apologize, and so they just left it in the scene.
So, do you have a particularly favorite moment of the fight scene? There are so many.
I can't pick a favorite.
Not even you, dirty motherfucker.
Yeah, it's all good. Actually, if I had to pick a favorite moment, you just mentioned it, the 2x4. But I want to get into, just before the fight scene, there's a bit between, Nada shoots up all of these people.
Right.
He goes into a store with the shotgun, and it's the famous, I have come to shoot bubblegum and kick ass line.
Right.
And then next day he goes to the job site, the construction site he was working. Kind of sneaks in because he's wanted by the law now.
Right.
Frank sees him, tells him to get the hell away from him. Later, and this is what leads to the fight scene, Frank brings him a week's pay. You gotta wonder, okay, Frank wants nothing to do with the guy. He's keeping his head down. He's walking the white line. Doesn't want to get involved with anything.
Right.
Why does he help him out?
Well, they kind of know each other beforehand.
They met the next day. The previous day when he brought him to Justiceville.
True.
The guy is, you know, as far as Frank knows, the guy's a mass murderer.
He feels for him, though, you know?
I don't know why. Here's this guy who's just trying to, you know, make a living for his family, keeping his head down. Again, walking the white line, because I love that line. And suddenly he's helping out this supposed mass murderer.
Well, that's the other thing, too. He has to wonder, how'd he go from blowing people's heads off? And before that, he was talking about how, I'm just, you know, going to work and,
yeah,
you know, I'll get my chance. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, he was the much less radical.
He was the everyman.
The two. Right. So how does he go from being the everyman?
Yeah, to a mass murderer.
People's heads off.
That, you know, it just seems an odd transition. I know they had to bring him in to set up the team and yada yada, but it was a little sudden.
Well, he wasn't going to stick with him. He was just throwing him some cash and letting,
yeah,
him get the hell out of there. And he
true,
was, you know, going to go his own way, and then,
mm-hmm,
they kick each other's ass for 5 minutes. What a scene.
Yeah.
And the other part, you know, the other point of this film is the politeness of Canadians, who I believe Piper is.
I believe so, yeah. I'm not. The accent sounds it.
Yeah, he's from Saskatchewan,
okay,
Canada. That's what I thought. Saskatoon. And the scene where he's running into the... he's running with this automatic weapon. Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
Could you please tell me how to get up to
I
the
remember
room?
That, yes. Only a Canadian would say that.
Only a Canadian mass murderer would would run into a room with an automatic weapon.
Excuse me.
Excuse me, everyone. Could you tell me how to get to the roof? How Canadian.
Mm-hmm. And this was in the end at the TV studio, right?
Yeah.
Which, again, just before that, I think it was actually just before that assault. This is the last scene in the church, or with the church group who had met, started meeting somewhere else after the church was destroyed, or they were found
right
out. There's one of them, the head of, you know, their leader, what was his name, Gilbert, has a great line. You know, the world needs a wake-up call, and we're going to phone it in. Which I found a wonderfully ironic line, considering most of the performances in the movie were phoned in.
Oh, boy. Well, really only Piper's, I'd say.
Well, not, okay, again, I can't say that about Keith David, but I think just about everybody else.
Then again, Piper, of course, wasn't phoning in. He was trying.
Yeah, he was trying his hardest.
The only person I'd really accuse of phoning it in would be Meg Foster.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She might as well have had, "I'm here for a paycheck" tattooed on her forehead.
There's always a quote that Ron Bennington said about, I think it was Michael Caine, that there's some movies where you think you could even see the paycheck in his back pocket.
Yeah.
I was looking for it there for Meg Foster.
Oh, should be noted that, since we're on that closing scene, the communicators that the guards use are the PKE meters from Ghostbusters.
You know, I didn't even need to reveal that. Yeah, I so caught that. It had the lights and everything.
Yeah.
So, I think the last thing to talk about with this would be they're talking about remake.
Yeah. As always, I think every movie we've done so far, there's been talk of a remake, hasn't there?
It is slated for 2011, and I have not been able to find any casting information.
Apparently it was greenlit, and nobody else did anything. Nobody did anything else.
That's too far ahead to really get any news about it.
Sure.
Normally Carpenter would say something, but probably closer to the time. And, you know, before...
Is he even involved?
I have no idea.
He might not be.
But, and they really should have him involved.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he was involved, because he's remade everything else, hasn't he?
Well, this is true. He did, well, Escape from L.A. We don't want
to get
into that.
Now, I knew they were going to remake this before I rewatched this again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the first time. I don't know how many years it's been since I've watched this. But,
yeah.
You know, a lot of the whole we're in a recession sort of
That's true. I didn't think about the recession angle. You're right.
Really went over my head back then, because
yeah.
There wasn't a recession in
88. No.
But now, you know, seeing that, really, this would have been better even a couple of years earlier.
Or later.
Yeah.
I mean, early 90s, we were in a recession.
Yeah, not as bad as
now. No, of course not. But still, it would have made a bit more sense.
Right.
Or the late 70s.
I understand why they would want to make a remake of it. The only problem is, who are they going to cast in this?
Yeah. You know what I would love to see?
Yeah, I know.
It's never going to happen in a million years, but I would love to see Bruce as Nada.
Bruce Campbell.
Carpenter's worked with him before.
That is probably the only person I could see doing this.
Yeah.
And getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The problem is, you know who they are going to cast, right?
Who?
It's going to be The Rock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about it, but yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's just going to be funny.
He's not the same.
No.
You know?
No.
I mean, really.
Although they are kind of trying to make him the new Rowdy Roddy Piper. But more successful with the whole acting thing.
Well, he's doing Disney movies and stuff.
Well, he did one.
Really? Has it only been one?
He just did the Witch Mountain one, I think.
He did the Witch Mountain one? He did the little kid body... I don't know if it was a bodyguard or whatever, but...
Oh, I forgot about that
The action movie with the little kid where he's playing princess.
Yeah.
He did the football movie, I'm sure was a Disney movie, too.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. No,
he's
not Rowdy Roddy Piper.
No.
No, I was going to joke and say The Undertaker.
Who, aside from a wrestler, well, they don't really need a wrestler for it.
They will, though.
They will.
It's going to be The Rock, you mark my words.
I'm
glad we're recording this, so you can see years
from
now.
There's the epic fight scene, which is the main reason they should never remake this, because it's never going to be that good.
Right.
But aside from that, all of the action is with guns. You don't need the big wrestler for this movie.
Yeah. I love how he was using wrestling moves in the fight scene.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
That was just, I mean, who would really use wrestling moves like that? The clothesline, the suplex.
Like I said, they choreographed the scene themselves, Keith, David, and Roddy. So, okay, you're choreographing a fight scene with a guy who does choreographed fight scenes for a living.
Right.
Piper. What else are you going to do?
That's the other question. Who's going to play Keith David?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
My only answer, of course, is Keith David.
Well, he's actually, I don't know, he's getting up there. Have
I'm
you
sure
seen him
he
recently?
Is, who cares? I'm sure he is.
I think what they could do.
He's 43 right now.
Really? He looks much older.
Yeah.
Maybe he was aged in the movie, in the one role I'm thinking about, but he looks about 60.
Actually, no. Piper's 55, and uh-huh. David is 53.
Okay, that sounds, maybe that's about right. Okay.
Yeah, he's 53.
But I'm thinking they pull a Parent Trap deal. They split screen it. It's The Rock and The Rock, in both roles.
Oh.
As Nada and Frank.
That would even be more awful.
That would be high comedy.
It's like we're the producers or something trying to make the worst film ever.
Well, yeah. That's cool. This is a B-movie show. The worse it is, the better for us.
Yeah, that's true. So The Rock as Piper, I don't know who they'd get as Keith David.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody.
Chris Tucker.
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to imagine it.
I don't either. You know what they really should do, though, is they should make a sequel to this.
Mm-hmm.
With a new cast, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We won't give away the...
You can't really do a sequel, though. Unless they come back, which is entirely possible.
New cast, and think about what they set up in the end, though. You know, they set up what would be a revolution.
Oh, yeah, yeah, true.
A civil
war.
They could totally make a sequel to this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the new cast, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple of the old extras, although I think the one sellout guy is dead.
Yeah, well, you know. They have a whole new cast. Only thing I know they'll screw up, which is the one thing I love about They Live, one of the many things, I should say, the bad guys aren't Stormtrooper rejects. You notice.
Some of them had some pretty
some
bad
of them were, but for the most part, they can shoot and they don't die.
Then again, he was a bank security guard that missed.
Yeah, he. But I mean, when the ones who with the guys in the riot gear, I'm talking about mostly.
Very true. They were pretty deadly.
They
actually.
Can shoot and they don't die. They're not Stormtrooper rejects.
They mowed down a bunch of people.
And you know, if they remake it, they're gonna do that scene, and they're gonna be Stormtrooper rejects because the bad guys have to be. I mean, the good guys have to be that much stronger.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I forgot something from the cast.
Hmm?
Another odd anecdote from the cast here. The other black revolutionary, as he's credited, actually he's just credited as Black Revolutionary,
mm-hmm.
name is Cy Richardson. And of course I had to look him up because if you look at IMDb, there's only 5 dudes in the whole cast that have pictures. Even Meg Foster
yeah.
doesn't have a picture for some reason.
Probably at the time the best known actor in the cast.
Right. And
he's done quite a bit.
Cy Richardson, scroll down.
What am I looking for?
The very first film he is in.
Cinderella?
Cinderella.
Okay. Fairy Godmother.
That is the porno version of Cinderella.
Oh my. So it's Cy Richardson's The Italian Stallion.
No, well, he doesn't have any scenes like that. He's just kind of this pimped out,
okay.
literally pimped dress fairy, of course, godmother, and that's his first movie ever.
Come on. So he's actually come a long way because he's doing like legitimate TV work now.
Yes.
Cold Case, Pushing Daisies. Yeah, he's serious now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So it just
wow.
proves kids, you stick with it, and you never know what will.
You can come back.
You can, yeah. So, well, think about it. That was what, 11 years before this.
Yeah.
And then you know, since then.
Small role, you know, start in porn, move on to the small role in the cheesy B horror film. Eventually, you'll get the legitimate TV.
Yeah, he had very few lines in the movie. It was something about working on the watch.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Oh, it also should be noted that Bill Cobbs is not in this movie.
Bill Cobbs?
It was a joke.
Oh.
Bill Cobbs is in everything. It should be noted that he's not.
Oh, yeah. You know how quickly I forget from last week.
So, ratings.
Oh. I got to go with Four Brains.
You going four? I don't think it quite lived up to my memory. I'm going to have to go with 3.5.
Wow. All right. I was almost, I was pretty close to getting it 5 if it wasn't for all the, look at this, you know.
Yeah, the PSA in Justiceville, just, you know, the long just exposition about how, you know, what the world is like, just ruined it for me. He should have put the glasses on much sooner.
It was amazing how far ahead of the time this thing was.
Hmm.
And it was nice that he got a good jab at Siskel and Ebert in there.
Yeah. So, what have we learned?
We learned, what's wrong, baby?
And I learned...
Someone has to say the line.
Yeah. I learned two things.
What?
The white line is in the middle of the road. And apparently, you cannot chew bubblegum and kick ass at the same time.
That, and just put the damn glasses on.
Of
course. Don't fight about it.
Before we go, I just want to point out, give a little shout-out to the site. If you have not been to zombietakeout.com recently, go there now.
Right now.
We have links to, you know, the link to subscribe to us on iTunes. Yes, we are now on iTunes. Please, subscribe. Rate.
Yeah.
Right, give us a review. All of that will get us more visibility on there and more listeners.
Yeah, and if you have a movie that you'd like to see us review,
bring it
to our attention.
Yeah, post a comment in the blog or send us an email.
And
zombietakeout@gmail.com.
No chick flicks, please.
Well, if it's B or cult, we will consider it.
B chick flick? Now that's got to be...
I'm sure they exist.
That's got to be a painful episode, but... If that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm. So until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are.
White line's in the middle of the road. It's the worst place to drive.
Doing in 1988.